Testing. Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. Nice to see you all at church this week. Good to see Christian back on the guitar. It's been a while. I'm glad to see him strong and healthy. Yeah. Love that guy. Okay. Please open your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 7. Would encourage you to have your own Bibles open. It's always good to be able to mark it yourself. There may be a few things there. We're going to read verse 11 through 17, the story of the widow of Nain. Just a quick thing on pronunciation. The name of the town in verse 11 is Nain. The Japanese pronunciation would be Nain, but we'll say Nain. And then, let's see, where does it say? What verse? You see verse 14, there's an unusual word there. It's B-I-E-R. It's pronounced beer, beer. Yeah, not the beer you drink, okay? But same pronunciation, different meaning, okay? It's the funeral sort of coffin, or basically a plank of wood that they lay the dead body on. So just keep that in mind, Nain and beer, as we read it together. So let's read the scriptures together. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. The very words of God. Amen. Ah, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Greek. Yeah, we're studying the gospel this year, the power of the gospel, the power of the gospel to set us free, as we sung about, set us free from chains, break every chain, break every chain. The power of gospel to heal and restore. We have sick people. We have many ailments. And we are praying always, continually, for chronic pain, chronic illness. And oftentimes, many are sick. And we're praying for them. And we pray for the gospel to be revealed in such a way for their healing, not only for our bodies, but for our souls, our hearts. That's the power of the gospel. But then we see here the power of the gospel doing something even more amazing than just breaking chains and setting us psychologically and emotionally, mentally healthy. We see more than just repairing our broken lives and our broken bodies. We see something greater than this. We see the power of the gospel unto resurrection. Woo! Oh, I'm so happy that some people are here today, because I love to preach to some people who can hear. And I'm going to preach about the resurrection of us, of the dead. So, where do I start? Okay, we'll start with two things you can see here immediately from the text. It's two kingdoms, a tale of two kingdoms. It's a story of the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of death. You can see there in the beginning, it says, Jesus went to a town called Nain and his disciples, and look there, a large crowd went along with him. Starting from chapter 5, Jesus called his disciples, the 12. He healed a leper by touching him. He healed a blind man. He healed the disciples' mother-in-law from a fever. Jesus from Nazareth is a healer. Come follow him. So the crowd was gathering. He called Matthew, the Levite, Levi, who became Matthew, the tax collector. And his tax collector friends followed him. And so Jesus has a following of disciples, of tax collectors and sinners. There's more people following him. He goes up to the mountaintop. He gives this great sermon in chapter 6 called the Sermon on the Mount. Amazing sermon that every single pastor is trying to copy it every single Sunday. Never can do the best like Jesus. Right? Then chapter 7, the story we saw last week, there is a centurion, a wealthy, rich, and powerful man. He asked Jesus to heal his beloved servant. Jesus is healing. People are following him. There's a large crowd, and he's bringing with him the sick, the dying, the old, the crippled, the blind, the sinners, the dirty, and they're all following him, and he's leading them, and it's the kingdom of the Son of God. Well, they're following. See, the large crowd went along with him. But then, now let's look at the scene. From this side comes Jesus and his crowd, and then from this side comes a different crowd. Please look now. The next verse, verse 12, okay? The bottom half, the only son of his mother, she was a widow, and a large crowd, right there, from the town. What's happening? My friend, one of my best friends from university, 20 years, his 14-year-old son, I've shared this before, was battling cancer for 6 years. He finally passed away just a few weeks ago. They had the memorial service last week, and my friend went up. There's a crowd of 1,000 people gathered at this church to memorialize his son. The most painful part of the service, we saw it on Facebook Live. The mother, my friend's wife, comes up and she begins to talk about her son, and she says this: the pain is so great it pierces right to my core. And it takes every bit of strength to trust God in this pain. It was the only son of my friend. They have one daughter. And the long fight, long battle, the last month, every night at his bedside, just the pain that she was experiencing. You know, they say, it's like losing a piece of your body, a limb or a leg. You don't get over it. You just have to learn how to walk through it. And then eventually walk with the loss of a limb or loss of a leg. The Oscars, the Academy Awards for Hollywood, are happening today. The nomination for Best Documentary Film, one of them is a story called For Sama. Sama is a little girl. The daughter of the documentary filmmakers. It's a story about the uprising in Syria and the Russian airplanes that came and bombed the citizens of Aleppo. And the documentary is about the last hospital remaining in Aleppo through all of this violence and destruction. And it's just terrible because you see children. They're being carried into the hospital. The doctor is doing all he can to save this child. And eventually he just wraps them in a blue kind of paper. And then you see the mother coming. And the doctor says, "Is this your son?" And she says, "Of course it's my son." And she says, "He was my life." Heartbreaking. So we have here a woman, and her heart, her life was difficult enough. This is not her first funeral. Maybe years ago, her husband passed away, right? And they had to bury him. But at least at her husband's funeral, they could say, well, her husband is dead, but at least her son is alive. Her son can protect her. Her son can provide for her. She's not alone. But not anymore. Some reason, we don't know, maybe a fever, maybe an accident. Her son also passes. My son, my life, right? And so they wrap his body. They can't wait a long time. It's going to decay. They wrap his body. They put some anointing on there, something that will allow the smell not to be too bad. And then they don't have coffins. It's a very poor place. The place is Nain. It's nowhere. It's nothing. It's like Akitakata. It's the Inaka of the Inaka. It's the countryside of the... It's like six or maybe 12 kilometers from Nazareth. Nazareth is nowhere. It's nothing. They don't have coffins. They don't have, you know, money for that. So they just put them on a bier, which is a plank of wood. They put them on that, and they're going to carry him to the grave. So the mother is walking in front, and behind her is her son lying on the wood, and around her are those who are mourning and weeping, crying. You know, she has no more son. She has no more hope. She's going to be a beggar from now on. It's death. It's destruction. It's darkness. It's evil, right? And that is the kingdom that the crowd is representing. It's not that they are evil and they are the led by the devil. It's just that's the second crowd. There's the one crowd coming here, the crowd of death. And sadness and hopelessness. And here is Jesus' crowd coming, the crowd of life and hope and peace. What happens? Usually, when you see the funeral car, the hearse, it's coming, usually everybody stops, maybe just quiets down, right? There's no talking, and it's just, that's so sad. You hate to see it. Because no one defeats death. Everybody understands death is a stronger power than I have. We all succumb to it. And that death is coming by, and you just kind of stand back and do nothing. Right? Not Jesus. Oh, no. Jesus comes and meets death. And now there's the confrontation between the resurrection and the death. Who wins, right? The tale of two kingdoms. This is not just another story of Jesus the healer. No. This is the climax. You keep reading. There's no more miracles. The next one after this is Jesus feeding the 5,000. That's in a different section in the book. This is, he's gone from healing lepers, blind, fever, demons, this is the big one, okay? And so it's the big confrontation. Now, we see two kingdoms. I want to ask you before we go to the next point, what kingdom do you belong to? What kingdom do you live under? Whose dominion and whose power and whose authority are you submitting to? Now, there's one that we all know that we have no power to overcome. That's the kingdom of death and destruction, sin and death. But Colossians says, praise be to God for giving us his Son, who's brought us from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. If your trust and your hope is in Jesus Christ, whoo, you have something that the world does not have. I mentioned my friend who lost his son. They had a memorial for him, 14 years old. And they didn't call it a funeral. They called it a celebration. And, of course, the pastor was reading from Thessalonians that says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which says, look, you are a Christian. Yes, you will weep and you will cry. You will wail and you will mourn. Yes, you do. You weep for the loss of someone you love. But you don't weep like the rest of the world, because you weep with hope. You have a hope that will never perish, spoil, or fade. That hope is in the resurrection. That's what you, so you can weep. And yes, we still live under the power of death to some degree, but for those who are in Jesus Christ, you've been transferred from one kingdom into the other. Do you have the passport? Do you have the visa? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Trust in Jesus. Go from one kingdom to the other. Tale of two kingdoms, the kingdom of the Son and the kingdom of death. It's also a tale of two sons. Two sons. This is all about Jesus. The first son is being carried, okay? And he's dead. The second son, well, it's the Son of God. It's Jesus Christ. So the two sons have a meeting. One son is dead, the other son is life itself. And so Jesus, he sees, oh man, one son is completely dead. He's got no feeling, right? No life, no breath, nothing. The other son, what does he have? Oh, my brothers and sisters, please catch this. This is amazing. Pastor Hiroshi shared about it this morning. I love to hear it in Japanese. The other son, Jesus Christ, it says he felt compassion, right? His heart went out to her. Interesting, we have this in English. It's just not enough in the English. Has a little bit in the Nihongo, awaremi, fukaku, right? But the Greek is so much better, okay? So let me give you the Greek. The Greek is the word for guts, intestines. Now, for those of you who have lost someone, for those of you who have gone through immense emotional pain, you know this feeling. It's not physical, but the emotional pain is so intense, you feel it physically, right? You ever have been, your heart is just so broken. There's no physical attack coming to you, but you're just in your stomach. It's a pain that's just sinking and crushing, and you just feel like you're going to die. Now, do you know that pain? Have you ever felt that? I want you to multiply that pain by 1,000 billion, trillion, gazillion. And that is a little bit of how Jesus felt. This is the Son of God, the eternal and everlasting, one with the Father, the creator of everything. And when it says God felt pain in his guts, That is the greatest comfort to you and I. You see, our God, Jesus Christ, he doesn't stand back. In a, look, you know, you're sitting there, you're weeping, you're crying, you're frustrated, you're hurt, you're in the dark, you're by yourself, and you wonder, does anyone understand how I feel? Does anyone understand how lonely and afraid and confused and frustrated? How about me? Does anybody understand where I'm coming? And you think everybody's outside the room, or maybe God is outside, or maybe God is in the back corner. He's just like, kawaiso ne. Sanen da ne. Ganbare ne. That's how it feels. But this is saying, no. The Son of God feels your pain like nobody else can. And that's what you need. You don't know that you need that, but you need that. You need to know somebody understands where I'm from. Somebody understands how low I'm at. Somebody is with me. And now listen, I'm a pastor. Pastor Hiroshi's here. We can give advice. We can pray. We can lay hands. And we could do our best to encourage you. But really, only God can help you. Right? And so the best thing we could do is refer you. We don't have the gift of healing. We don't have the gift of resurrection. We have the gift of referral. We can refer you to the one who can help you. Amen. And how can he help you? Because he knows where you are at. Right in his guts, he feels it. A tale of two kingdoms and the tale of two sons. And so the son comes and approaches the dead, the plank, and he reaches out and he touches. Wow. Okay, a tale of two resurrections. There's one resurrection here, but actually it's pointing to another one. The Son of God touches the plank. Now, when he touches the plank, he's supposed to be infected. He is supposed to receive the pollution of death. No. This is the Son of God. It works the other way around. So he touches it. Okay. Everything stops. The ones carrying it stop. All the flutes and all the singers stop. All the wailers, the professional mourners, it's stopped. Quiet. Right? The Son of God has just stopped the funeral. He's with the mother. He says, you don't have to cry. Nakanakti. Nakanakti mo yoi. Right? That's what it says. Yeah. You don't have to cry. Now, you see, in the past, the Greek philosophers, they said that to the mothers. They would say this. Don't cry, because it will do no good. That's what they would say. Don't cry. It's not going to raise your son. Don't cry. It's not going to make anything better. Don't cry. Their tears don't help anything, the situation. That's what the Stoics would say. But when the Son of God says, don't cry, it's a different meaning. Yeah? When Jesus says, I'm here. I feel it. You don't have to cry. And the reason you don't have to cry is I can do something about it. I'm about to do something about it. I don't know how he said this. I really don't. I don't know. We've been watching a TV series on the internet. It's about Jesus Christ, and Jesus is this handsome, you know, man, and he's always got, he has the right answers for everything, and the way he talks is perfect. I don't know how he talks here. Does he say, don't cry? Or does he say, don't cry? I don't know. But can you hear him? He says, don't cry. And then he looks at the young man, he says, arise. It's one word. In English, it's two words. In the Greek, it's arise. Oh, man. Everybody's quiet. Everybody stops. the dead man, it says the dead man sits up, right? I mean, yeah, that's, I can, the only thing I can picture is when in the mornings I have to wake up my sons, you know, sometimes they ignore the alarm and I have to say, young man, you know, yeah, get up, huh, hi, yes, daddy, right? I don't, did he just go like, huh, what? Mom, what is all this? Why do I smell? What is everybody doing? What's the flutes? Well, Mom, why are you crying? I don't know. He just started talking. Yeah. It says the dead man sat up. That is called a resurrection. When the dead rise. When the dead rise. You and me, there are two resurrections. There's our resurrection spiritually. When we say yes to Jesus. When we turn away from our sin and we trust Jesus Christ with everything, we trust Jesus Christ with our death, we trust Jesus Christ with our life, we trust everything to Jesus Christ, and we who were dead in our trespasses, in our sins, by the grace of Jesus Christ, we have been made alive in our spirits. Read it, Romans chapter 7 and 8, Ephesians chapter 2. That's the first resurrection. Now I got to get to the good part, okay? You see, for those of you who are disciples of Jesus, there's one more thing you're looking forward to. Now, I realized this 2 years ago when we studied the book of Revelation. And I understood, I'm not waiting to die and go to heaven. It's not what the Bible teaches. I have two things I'm waiting for. Actually, one thing if the other doesn't come. The first thing I'm waiting for is not death. Death is the enemy. Death is the intruder. Death is not natural. I'm waiting for Jesus to come back. And I'm waiting not for him to take me to heaven. I'm waiting for him to bring heaven here. The new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem. I'm waiting for Jesus to come and bring it himself. I hope to see it while I'm still alive. But if that does not happen, and if I have to be buried into the grave, I have one more hope. And that is when Jesus comes back, he will call out to everyone in the grave. And I don't know if my, I don't know what they're going to do, if they're going to cremate me and scatter my ashes or you know, put in one. I don't know what Mitake, I think Mitake has the cremation, right? And we put them in the one place. I don't know. But it says, I will rise. Not spiritually. Not symbolically. Not, you know, in some non-physical way. I'm going to rise. Flesh, bone, hair, muscle. I'm going to rise because that's how Jesus rose out of the grave. He rose. He said, look, look at my hands. See the holes. Look at my side. See the wound. He ate fish. He had breakfast. And it says that just like Jesus rising from the grave, so we will rise from the grave. That's my hope. That's the second resurrection. So we look at this story. It's a great story, wonderful story, beautiful story. That's the kingdom. That's the gospel. But you know what? Be careful. Don't get stuck on that. It's a sign. It's a pointer. It's, did it really happen? You better believe it really happened. 100 years later, the Emperor Hadrian wrote a letter and mentioned this. It's a historical fact. But this reality is one reality that points to a greater reality. Let me just explain it, and then we're going to go home. The most Japanese thing, the most Nihonteki-poi thing is not sushi, okay? Other countries eat raw fish. The most Japanese thing is not temples or shrines. There's plenty of other temples and shrines around the world. The most Japanese thing is not kimono. Okay, other, you just go to Korea, they have also beautiful kimono. The most Japanese thing you will ever see foreigners here, even Nihonjin ga. If you go down the street, you cross the track, on the left side, on the corner, there's a Musashi. And just outside the Musashi door, you see a little box, a display. It has the food, but it's a plastic food, the plastic models. That is the most Japanese thing you will ever see. Amen, somebody. I don't know what it's called. Yeah, see, no, it's right? It doesn't have a name. That's so Japanese. It's so Japanese, it has no name in Japanese. Sampuru. Yeah, see, it's katakana. So Japanese, right? But listen, you see, every restaurant, every kisaten, every cafe, it has that, right? Whether it's Japanese or Italian or German, it has all these. The food, it's a plastic model of the food. Now, is that real? Yes, it is. It's real. You can pick it up. You can touch it. You can't eat it. But you can, you know, it's a reality. But you're an idiot if you try to eat it. Yes? Now, stay with me. I know this is weird, but this is the best I can come up with. That real, that story of the boy raising up to life, the resurrection, that real, that's real. But that's just that's the menu. It's not the meal. That's just a picture of a greater resurrection. It's a sample. It's a sampuru. That is the sampuru yomigaek, the sample resurrection. Because that is just a picture of everyone who hears the voice of Jesus and answers his call to resurrection. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Lord, we rejoice in the sample, but Lord, we look forward to the reality. And Lord, I know that this is not a practical message, not a very proverbial and wise, it's in six steps to this, but God, I know it's the message of good news of gospel. I know that it feeds us with hope, and it's the hope of the good news of what you're doing to rescue us from sin and death and the grave. And thank you for resurrection. Thank you for hope. Thank you for the kingdom. Thank you for the Son. And I ask you, Lord God, to give us the faith, Lord, to put all of our hope in the Son and in the gospel and in the kingdom of God. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we all rise as we sing our closing song together?
Stand a new creation, baptized in blood. And
Father, we thank you for filling this place with your people and with your spirit. But Lord, now as we go from here, we ask that you'd fill us with your spirit. And as we are filled with the spirit, we would have the fruit of the spirit, the fruit of love and joy, peace and patience, kindness and goodness, gentleness and faithfulness, and self-control. And for these good things, we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you all for coming today. God bless you. Have a great week.
Bless you. Amen. Hey.